Hi, this is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Cara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me again. If you tuned in last week, you know that Xavier Davis's career as a jazz pianist took off when he moved to New York from Michigan to play with the legendary singer Betty Carter. He's now back in his home state teaching jazz at Michigan State University. Xavier Davis and Jazz Current's host, Keith Hall, old friends from way back, continue their reminiscences over music and stories.
So you spent that time with Betty, and you also mentioned Carl Allen, the great drummer who's also a mentor to me. And he discovered you when you were in college and chose one of your tunes to record on one of his records, your tune, The Message, which is, you know, probably my favorite tune that you've written. Then you went on to record that on one of your albums.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear The Message.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
a great tune, man. I love that tune.
Thanks.
What? Tell us about that tune. What is that tune about for you? How did you come up with that?
That was a tune I don't feel like I really even came up with it. I was I visited New York for a summer. You and I both did.
That's right.
I was just in this little apartment, and one thing I did do was rent a piano. So I had this little spinet that I would practice on, and I got to take a lesson. Got to take lessons with Mulgrew Miller and James Williams, and so I was definitely being influenced by their music. And I heard them and Kenny Kirkland, and just their writing. So I think that's in there somehow. But that was one of the few tunes. As much as I love writing, it doesn't always come easily. And that was one of the few tunes that was just written. And all I did was write it down. And it was that summer. And it was sitting in my room, in this little tiny New York apartment with a piano. And I don't even think I touched the piano. I just wrote down everything that I was hearing. And it was the melody was there, the chords were there. And it hasn't happened to me since, so it's not a normal thing for me. So that's why I called it The Message. And that's the one that most people like the most, probably, of my tunes. And it's been recorded several times in different situations, different settings. And so I'm happy that I was the vessel that it went through, but I didn't feel like I wasn't some genius that came up with it. It was just there.
Yeah, it's your hit, right?
that's my hit.
Your jazz hit. Yeah, I mean, I totally hear James Williams in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to, I mean, and that whole crew, Mulgrew and Donald Brown and the whole newborn.
Memphis crew.
Yeah, tell us about the Memphis crew. A lot of people don't know about that whole thing.
Yeah, James Williams, Harold Mayburn, who's, you know, still out there doing and still growing and just listening. You know, you go to Smoke and he's to the club Smoke in New York. Harold Mayburn, well, he's still out there growing and he's part of that. James Williams and Mulgrew, they went to school there and I think James is from there.
Donald Brown.
And they did some records together. They had a piano group or a bunch of pianos, you know.
And Jeff Keyser was on there.
Yeah, Jeff Keyser was like their adopted.
How did he get into that?
He was just like Jeff had played with Art Blakey, so he was part of the lineage, and those guys, you know, played with Art Blakey and just. Somehow, you know, he was one of the cats. They could see that he was serious, so he was just like their adopted younger brother or something.
Yeah. And this all stems from Phineas or Finest Newborn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's, yes. Yeah.
Certainly under the radar for a lot of people.
Yeah, but he was one of those genius kind of cats that they could just do whatever he wanted at the piano and... he was very imaginative. He had a lot of technique, but it was more than that. It was just imagination. He had a lot of imagination, and he heard the whole orchestra when he played, and it's pretty incredible. So there's definitely a rich history in Memphis, and some great music has come out of there.
Yeah, definitely. So we talk about some of these mentors and influences, right? James and Billy Hart and Carl Allen and people like that. And you've worked with so many great band leaders.
Yeah.
Who else can you talk about that maybe has been a big influence on you in that way as a band leader?
I say after Betty, Tom Harrell, I worked with him for about 7.5 years. He's such a pure musician in every way. He sheds every day as much as... As great as he already is, he sheds not just playing though, he sheds writing. And his writing and his openness to the music really made me realize that you don't have to pigeonhole yourself, you know, just to get gigs or to fit into a certain, you know, group of people that play this style of jazz or just be honest And when I hear his music, when I play his music, I that's what I feel. He's like a kid. We would do some recording. I did 3 or 4 records with him, and we would get to the sessions. And I remember one session he had like brass ensemble, and the next one was like a funk tune. And we'd have all these clavinet, and have a person come in and play electric bass. It was like he didn't think about, well, this is not really feasible to have all this, you know, these string players and all this stuff going on. This is expensive, and we're recording at the Hit Factory. He was just like, his wife Angela, you know, kind of manages a lot of that, and she'd be like, Tom, you know, that's kind of expensive to do it. And he's like, but I hear it. That's just honest, like a kid. You don't think about how much it costs and how easy it is to take on the road to promote the record. You just, this is what I'm hearing. And I think that's really beautiful. And I'm trying to, I've always, since then, I've tried to capture that in my, you know, just the way I approach music, and not trying to separate things as much, and just let, if I hear it, it's valid. I don't want to limit the music by deciding what it's supposed to be, because Bird didn't do that, Monk didn't do that, Duke Ellington didn't do that, you know, and anyone who we listen to who's a great musician doesn't do that. They hear something, and the reason we listen to them is because it hadn't happened before. Otherwise, we listen to whoever did it before that. And so I with Tom, I really feel that was a big thing that I got from him. And then Stefan Harris was after that. I worked with Tom and Stefan at the same time for a while. And he's also like a kid in that way. He would have these projects and these big ideas, and he just goes for it. And I really admire that musically. Then Regina Carter, she's just such a beautiful person, and the way she feels the music, she has such a great ear that, you know, she might start playing a tune in A that we've been playing in E flat, and everyone's like, oh, okay, you know, and she doesn't realize it because she's not thinking about the technical parts of the music. She just does it. I always strive to just do it, you know, to get to that, and just to be that kind of spirit that makes people feel good and makes people want to play. And Christian McBride, most recently, he raises the level of everyone around him. You know, I think he could be playing with the worst musicians on earth and make them sound worth listening to some way, because he makes you want to play better, and everything that you have in you to play well, it just comes to the surface. And it can be intimidating too, because he's just so knowledgeable, and he has a thorough knowledge of a lot of things. But he's also just such a warm person. So those are some of the highlights. I've learned a lot. Every time I play, I'm learning from someone, you know.
And you recorded that album with him, I think it's called The Good Feeling.
The Good Feeling, yeah.
Yeah, which is appropriate, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys won a Grammy Award for that.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So
we just went
congrats.
Back in to try to do it again a couple months ago.
So. Yeah. So I'd love to hear some more music from you. I know you've done some recordings with the New Jazz Composers Octet in New York, which is really an all-star band. And they recorded one of your tunes, or I think it's part of a suite. Why don't you tell us about that suite?
We did a couple suites that I got a grant for through Chamber Music America, which I should mention because it's a great organization. And it was great because it forced me to write. Sometimes having something that you have to write for and a deadline can be a good thing. And this is a movement called Time Stops for No Man. So I'll just play a little bit of that.
Yeah, you talk about Feeney's Newborn and his imagination, and I mean, your imagination with harmony has always been just amazing to listen to and play with, man. Just the chords that you're able to you know, things you're able to reharmonize, and just, again, your imagination with harmony is impeccable, man. It's beautiful to listen to.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you.
It's great.
I appreciate it.
Well, you lived in New York for years, and it's great to have you back in Michigan now. You know, you've done a fair amount of teaching over the last few years. You were at Juilliard in New York City, and now you're the associate professor of jazz piano at Michigan State University. I mean, as a teacher, I'm just interested what kind of things you're kind of relaying to your students these days. What's important?
For me, it's really simple. I feel like the process of learning jazz is like the process of learning how to talk. And it's just a matter of really listening. And what we listen to is going to affect what we hear, which affects what we play. The broad stroke is listening and trying to emulate. That's what we spend our time doing. We talk about specifics, like maybe learning how to comp like Red Garland on this tune, playing all offbeats. And then the next tune, we're checking out Herbie. And then we're checking out some Teddy Wilson. And there, we want to have all of that in our arsenal, because our conversations might lead there. And if we don't know that part of the language, then we're going to feel naked. And we're going to feel like we don't have much to contribute. So I try to keep my students exposed to those different important influences and important figures in the music. There are many paths to get there, but you can't not listen. And if you love the music, you'll do that.
That's great. Well, I know you're always working on a new project. You're always working on something. What's coming up for you?
Right now, I've been trying to write for a recording that I'm probably doing in the fall, and it's for trio, piano, bass, and drums, and string quartet, and so it's something different. I love strings, because strings are very forgiving. In writing, you can just write a G major chord and have them just play that, and it sounds great. You know, you do that on the piano, it doesn't sound as great, but they just play it, and there's just such a warmth, and there's a movement because of the way it's, you know, the bows going across the string. So there's a movement and there's a richness just from very simple things. I'm trying to. I don't want them to be so much just playing G major chords. So it's more, they're integrated more in the group. They're playing melodies and interacting with the trio more. Yeah, I'm excited. Regina Carter is going to play on that. She's with the quartet, and it should be a lot of fun. And I'm getting close to having everything really done with the writing, but it's also a challenge because I'm trying to conceptualize what it's going to sound like, because there's not a lot of examples of that, and so I'm just trying to follow what I'm hearing and trust it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've never been afraid of stepping out.
No.
You know, and doing different things, and like Tom Harrell, you know, this is just what I'm hearing, and this is what you're hearing, so I'm sure it'll be great.
We'll see.
Well, how can our audience keep up with you and stay tuned into what you're doing?
My website is xavierdavis.com, and that's the best way to keep up with me. I'm getting ready to do a Facebook fan page, I guess, or musician page, whatever they call it.
Right.
I've kind of resisted. I have a personal page, and I have a lot of friends on there. So that'll be another source once that's up and running. But right now, I try to keep my schedule up to date on my website.
Well, my man, Xavier Davis, it's been great to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for making time for this and for just blessing us with your piano, your music. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me, man. It's always a blessing to be around you and just your spirit and your love. And I know we just have a minute, but just as I think about when I moved to New York, which is one of the first questions you asked me about, you are the person that moved me out to New York, literally. I was like, man, I got to move out to New York. I don't even know how to, you know, I got to pack my stuff up. And you're like, let's go. You know, I rented a U-Haul, and you're just that kind of friend, like a brother. And I appreciate that. So.
Well, maybe you could play us out here with something else at the end.
Yeah.
Xavier Davis joined Jazz Currents host Keith Hall in our studio here at WMUK. Both sessions can be heard online at our website, WMUK.org. Martin Clem was the sound engineer. Jazz Currents is produced with help from the School of Music at Western Michigan University and the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in to Weekend Let's Hear It.